This is the Overclocked Podcast, a weekly dive into the world of video game music brought to you by OCRemix.org.
This week, we increase our harp knowledge by 700% with Harpsona, spill the secret of mana in an episode of Major Thirds The Big Ones, and immediately turn around to test our newfound knowledge in an all-harp playlist.
Oh man, door's pretty squeaky. You need to get some oil on that thing. It's been a while since we've been in the Overclock Podcast studios. Hey, my brother Brian.
Oh my gosh, there's a skeleton in my chair. I think our producer died.
Couldn't you have said my name in a natural yet informative way to let people know who we are?
Steven?
We edited that into post. They'll never tell. Welcome back to our show. We took a break accidentally, but that's okay because now we have an entire episode ready for you.
Absolutely. And the whole episode includes such things as harps.
It does.
Honestly, I'm glad to be back because I've kind of been on a video game music hiatus these last couple weeks. I haven't really been listening to much of it at all. I've mostly just been listening to Journey, who's very good.
It's basically video game music.
But it is basically video game music. But on the way back home tonight, I was listening to, shout out to the Super Mercado Bros and their latest episode about Jake Kaufman. That is a great listen for anyone who likes video game music, even if you've heard a good bit of Jake's big scores like Shovel Knight and Mighty Switch Force. They do a good retrospective of going back through his older stuff and kind of giving you a taste of how he led up to those games, and it's really fun to hear.
Oh man, yeah, that episode was awesome. And like we were talking about before, they played some Mighty Switch Force, which is still my favorite Jake Kaufman soundtrack, even after hearing the other Jake Kaufman soundtracks.
Shovel Knight is dumb.
And on that note, let's head into the rest of the show.
All right, let's start with the Remix Rewind, where we run down the latest from OCRemix.org.
I'm not sure if farcical is a genre, but Nonsense Paradise and the game that inspired it make a compelling case. Gane marches into a symphonic medley from Paradius, parody of Gradius, a fact solidified with mischievous orchestral instruments marching together for a grand goof.
It's time to resurrect an old friend from the grave. That friend is Flexstyle, and his eternal resting place is the Crypt of the Necrodancer, Overclocked, a musical expansion pack of sorts for that very game. Funky Morty is guaranteed to keep you reanimated on the dance floor for at least 3 full moons' time.
Materia Collective's Mobius Sonic the Hedgehog remixed album knee slides into OCR mid-guitar solo, all thanks to Pirate Crab and his shredful shenanigans. One might say his take on Hydro City Zone made a splash. One might be me, and one did. So go on, liquidate your speakers, and aqua pump it up.
Lonely Rolling Stars are at it again, stealing puns from us. Those dastardly musical madmen. This time they're messing with Little Known's Nest title, Arkista's Ring, with a mix they're calling Arkista Girl and I Liked It. For more off-kilter covers and on-point naming conventions, check out their Rock and Roll With It album, Sugar Burger.
Aluminum's last featured remix was 9 years ago, roughly the same span of time since our last episode of the podcast. But enough self-deprecating humor, this warped, shadowy take on The Wolf Among Us Season 1 is nothing to laugh at. Binding starts out thoughtful and electronic, but isn't afraid to bare its fangs with pounding electric guitars and one heck of a drop.
The Lesser Dogs is more than you might have bargained for. It's an Undertale arrangement album from Long Box of Chocolates, and this is just one, moderately unnerving, taste test. The spectral mire whispers of wishes and practically screams rock opera, all backed by collaborators Mary Horst, Patrick Lanier, and Tyler Krug. I would end this with a clever Undertale reference, but I still haven't finished the game and just kind of needed to get that off my chest.
everyone knows the legendary status of Nintendo's highly, highly unfortunate Zelda games on the highly, highly unfortunate Philips CD-i, but are you familiar with the cool and, dare I say, groovy soundtracks? Hylian Lemon is, and he shares the goofball love of Zelda, the Wand of Gamelon, with a chipper mix called Only Link Can Do the Duck Walk. It's fun, adventurous, and, despite being an entirely audio-based medium, still better animated than the source material.
Knock, knock. Who's at the door? It's Ridiculously Garrett. And he's got some winter comfort food in the form of All I Want for Christmas is Grandma's Elixir Soup. Sure, he's a few months late, but Wind Waker is over 15 years old, and that doesn't stop it from delivering smiles every day of the year. So let this soothing blend of jazz and old-fashioned funk into your heart.
Crimson Wolf 777 catches the glimmer in Donkey Kong's eye with a magical mix called Squidder's Dream. Check out the OCR website for DJ Pretzel's rather blue commentary on the nature of Squidder's etymology, but we're above that sort of thing here on the Overclocked Podcast. So, sit down and digest this ambient ride through the very bowels of R&B, flush with quiet emotion and, oh, 5 or 6 shots of nostalgia. From Donkey Kong Country, number 2.
Ah yes, the familiar embrace of Kingdom Hearts, and its sonorous score from Yoko Shimo. God! God Item and Jacob Martinez jump feet first into the series with a crazy powerful metal mix called Cymbals and Screams, shredding guitars, expectations, and maybe a few vocal chords in the process. I personally can't wait for their follow-up track, Pain of Memories, Scream Drop Distance, and Birth by Shriek. Yes.
Tonalysis discovered OCR through our very own Zircon, training his synthesizer skills through what I can only hope was an elaborate Dance Dance Revolution montage. After all, that's what his chosen debut mix is all about. DDR Extreme, to be specific. Epic Steps busts a bevy of electronic dance moves without missing a beat, hypnotizing the listener with its constant pace. More like Trance Trance Revolution, am I right? Am I right, though?
Yes.
Thank you.
For all of these remixes and more, head over to ocremix.org.
My name is Niall, and I guess I haven't really put it out there in too many websites, but I usually go by Harpsona for my harp stuff. I've been doing harp covers for maybe just a couple of years now, actually. I started posting my first video back on Tumblr, I think in 2016. I probably started with the very, very basic Undertale thing, and then it kind of blew up when I posted a really brief loop of Dearly Beloved from Kingdom Hearts, and so from there I got a lot of encouragement, and here I am.
So, let's talk about the harp a little bit. I'm not super familiar with the instrument, to be honest. Mm-hmm. It almost tends to be more of a background element, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, despite it being so enormous. So, what is it like to play the harp, especially in comparison to other instruments?
So that's a good question. So I guess I'll start out by first providing a little bit of background of what I played before harp, since yeah. I didn't start out on it. So I started with piano back when I was, I don't know, like 6 or 7, and I played that all the way till the end of high school. And I also played viola in middle and high school. You know, shout out to all the violists out there. Don't take those jokes too harshly about, about violas. But I didn't start harp actually until my last year of college. And so harp is similar and also still very different from piano. I would probably draw the closest comparisons to piano, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So for piano, you use, you know, all 10 of your fingers, and you have maximum of maybe 3 foot pedals, typically just one that you would use, really.
Right.
For a harp, you do not use your pinkies at all, so you have 8 fingers that you're using. But for the type of harp that I play, which is like a concert grand, there's actually 7 pedals that are down with your feet. And each of those pedals have 3 positions.
Oh, no joke. See, I literally did not know that, and I'm already learning way more than I knew.
No, totally fine. So, like, I didn't know this either, because growing up, I never really saw a harp. I never believed that I, you know, would be able to play harp, because who plays harp? But then I was lucky enough in college that I found I had an extra space in my schedule, and I looked in the music department just for fun, and I noticed they had harp lessons as a course. And I was like, are you kidding me? I'm going to sign up. So here I am. But there's a few different types of harps. So you'll usually see the smaller ones that have levers that you switch with your hands. So those are like variants of different folk harps. And then the one with the pedals are typically reserved for like orchestras and more grandiose solo kind of pieces as well.
And so do you have just the one right now? What kind do you play?
Good question. So right now, I technically do not own, but I rent the large one. Because I cannot afford to purchase the large one right now.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I'm surprised you can house it, let alone.
No, I'm super lucky that I could have it here. But I play a Lion and Healy style 11. This is an old one, I think from 1981. I guess not that old, but a little bit older.
Sure. Sure.
And then the smaller harp that I do use in some of my Tumblr videos but haven't posted on YouTube yet. The smaller one is a Dusty Strings Ravenna. How many strings? 24, 26? Small number of strings.
How did you pick up the harp in the first place? I know that the lessons came up, but had you ever thought about it before that?
So kind of as a joke, because I never really thought that it would be possible, especially not with, you know, this kind of big harp. So I think what I was thinking of was, you know, I haven't played piano much in college because I was too busy. And I was thinking, you know, it'd be cool if I learned another instrument. And cello is something that I've always wanted to pick up too. But when I saw harp, I was like, you know what? I'm going to take this chance.
Yeah.
And I think I was also largely inspired, like, not going to lie, from Final Fantasy and Zelda in terms of wanting to be able to create those sounds myself.
Yeah, there's something purely magical when you play the harp right. Mm-hmm. It truly, like, sustains itself without any backing instruments. It is a very soloistic craft, I feel. Did it take you a while to kind of get those techniques down and build the calluses, as it were?
Oh, calluses. Sorry
to bring up no, bad memories.
I mean, I definitely have them. It's a forever thing with harp. But
oh, yeah.
But in terms of learning harp, so because I had piano, doing two different things with two hands is totally fine.
Sure.
But the issue was, like for piano, you press a key and it sounds typically nicely. Like you press it soft or hard and, you know, you get piano forte. But it's not like it's going to sound drastically different depending on how you press it.
Right.
For harp, you have to be very careful in terms of your technique to make sure you get the best sound possible. And so this is something that I still sometimes struggle with, is making sure I maintain proper technique while playing. So, for example, I don't want my... I guess the knuckle closest to your fingernails. You don't want that to go flat as you're playing. You don't want it to bend back. Your finger should stay nice and curved. You have to stay relaxed, elbows up, all this other stuff as well. Mm-hmm. So keeping that all in mind while trying to play the stuff and also worry about my feet, it was kind of a hard thing to get used to.
Yeah, you don't think that the harp is like a full body experience until you really study it. I mean, is like hand cramping a big issue for new players?
It shouldn't be. So if you have proper technique, it shouldn't be hand cramping. If anything, it's your skin that's going to hurt.
Okay, gotcha. Because it always looks really smooth when professionals play it, right? It always looks so natural, but you look a little closer and so much is going on just in the minute techniques that people are using.
Yeah, that definitely takes training.
The analogy that I was able to draw in my head to piano was not only the pedals, which I didn't really realize, but just the pure fact that you have two hands doing two separate things at any given time.
Yes.
So I assume it would work for piano-like songs where you have two parts playing, especially a lower part and higher part. Is that kind of how you're viewing it? How do you choose a song?
So I guess I don't really have a strong method to this. I just have a feeling for it. Like, I listen to a lot of video game music or a lot of things that have been in soundtracks for games that I played a long time ago. I'll still listen to them again and again.
Yeah.
And I'll pick up on the different melodies. And usually, regardless of if it has a strong background component to it or not, typically, if there's a strong melody, there's, you know, some chords you can find to work with it.
Every once in a while, you'll stumble across one of those songs that just sounds like it was written for the harp. Mm-hmm. For example, the Final Fantasy... Prelude, I guess. I swear Uematsu wrote it for that instrument.
I'm pretty sure.
Have you run across any other like songs that just naturally fit like a glove?
Oh, Zelda. Just a ton of Zelda songs.
Everything Zelda. Yeah, I mean, everything in Zelda feels like it's written for like a specific soloistic instrument anyway. It's kind of the theme of the series. Mm-hmm. So when you do choose a song, how do you transcribe it or write it or, I guess, get it from the game to your harp?
So I feel like recently I've been doing a lot more of trying to just listen to the song, get a feel for it, usually just figure out the melody, kind of ignore exactly what's going on in the background and just finding out the basic chord progressions.
Right.
And so from there, I've been kind of doing, I guess, what I do best in just using arpeggios to kind of support the melody and not really pay attention too much to the melodic parts that are kind of like sub the main melody. But for my earlier videos, I was actually looking at just a lot of piano transcriptions that are already out there. I do credit the transcribers and the arrangers in the YouTube comments. And so usually it's piano arrangements that I look at, try to play, figure out things like really just cannot work or things work really well, and I'll make adjustments from there.
Do you have like a favorite piece you've done so far?
So favorite, even though not perfect, because the one time I did a perfect run, it was like my audio disconnected. But
yeah, that's always the way.
But I really do like my Howl's Moving Castle. So it's not video games, but from Studio Ghibli.
Close enough.
Howl's Moving Castle, Merry-Go-Round of Life. That was probably hands down the hardest cover that I've done so far, especially because it used a lot of pedal changes since it wasn't necessarily written for harp. And so the pedal changes correspond to accidentals and key changes. So there are a lot of parts that were just quickly moving between, I don't want to say entire keys, but just like definitely sets of chords that really require different sets of tones. So practicing the pedals for that in like the less than 2 weeks that I had to practice that was a bit difficult, but it was a great learning experience.
Have you run into any arrangements that just you were not feeling or just would not fit into your style?
I'm not sure if this is a matter of style or a matter of practicality.
Yeah.
But Spider's Dance from Undertale is just not doable. I wanted to, but just did not work. But in terms of transcriptions and people's arrangements, typically things are fine in terms of piano, unless it's like really crazy, like just having chromatic stuff all over the place. Like that won't necessarily be doable.
And speaking of that, have you had any experience collaborating with people before, or have you just gone solo?
I have collaborated, yes. So I am lucky enough to have had a friend, or have a friend, who's in Materia Collective.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done a few parts for Materia songs. So the first one that I worked with, Final Fantasy Tactics album, Zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the very last track with Jason Lux and Saskia. Don't know how to say her last name.
Yeah, oh, trust me. I'm a master at mispronouncing names.
No, but she has a great voice and Jason's super talented on piano and a lot of other things. But I was fortunate enough to play the harp part for that. Then I was able to participate in the Final Fantasy X Spira.
Yeah, we interviewed those guys.
Yeah, it was really fun. I learned that Seymour's like general theme is definitely not made for real harp. it's very impossible to do full speed.
More of a MIDI situation,
yes.
Perhaps. So you said you've been doing it for a few years. Do you feel like you're still improving day by day? Did you plateau at some point?
So when I started, I actually had a fairly like a surprising acceleration, probably because I did so much piano beforehand, but also I was passionate for the first time about learning an instrument.
Right.
Piano was kind of like parents were like, you know, play this. I'm like, okay.
Sure.
Yep, YOLO was like, you know, just middle and high school orchestra. But this is something I chose for myself. And so I actually put a lot of effort into it, looked up resources by myself, tried to do optimal practicing and all that kind of stuff. So after a year of playing, I moved to the West Coast for grad school. And while I'm doing grad school, I'm also taking lessons as well for harp. And so to my surprise, my instructor, after only 1 year, 1.5 year of playing at that point, she was like, oh, so, you know, why don't you play in the student orchestra? I'm like, oh, okay. So I got this huge like Tchaikovsky piece that was just like awful. And it was so nerve-wracking. But the amount of improvement from the first couple of years to now, it was probably the largest improvement my second to third year. And then now I'm in year, I guess, 4. And I feel like I've had another spike in the past few months.
That's rad. You feel like you're ever going to want to, I guess, introduce another instrument into your life or into your channel? Or are you really going to focus on harp for a while?
Well, I think just harp, honestly.
Yeah.
Definitely still interested in doing collaborations with a lot of people for a lot of different instruments.
Yeah.
And I feel like I would like to have my, not my middle school viola, because that thing sounded awful, but if I could get another sustained sound instrument to go with my harp, I could do maybe, you know, those a cappella kind of versions where it's yourself played, recorded multiple times with different instruments.
Exactly.
But for the most part, though, I definitely want to focus just on the harp here.
I'm really, really trying hard to not make so you're going to keep harping on that instrument joke, but I just failed. So is that like your path going forward right now? Mostly harp, trying to do lots of collaborations, and who knows, maybe adding in an extra instrument later?
I think so. And I think one thing I'm also really interested in doing, but haven't had the time to explore it yet, is kind of doing like lo-fi harp.
So what do you mean by that?
Do you know those like lo-fi chill hip hop?
Okay, now I know where you're getting at now.
So there's a lot of those have these really nice little jazzy piano riffs and other things that are just going inside of them lightly in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's harp as well, taken from some older tracks. And it sounds like a lot of fun just to try to create something like that. Like relaxing, like study kind of music that you can have easily loops for using the harp.
Well, that's awesome. Anything else that you want to touch upon before we wrap up, though?
So I get a lot of asks on my Tumblr, specifically on how I got started and how anyone can get started, really. If anyone is curious and they have time, definitely, you know, you can just Google search it. But also on my Tumblr, it's just harpsona.tumblr.com. I do have an about page and an FAQ. And if you search through my tags and go to, if you search for asks, I think there's like a lot of different posts you can read on people who are curious about getting started. But I'm always open if people are curious. Just shoot me a message on Twitter, Tumblr, because it's rewarding and I really like want more people to be able to play.
That's so cool. So anywhere else people can follow you and your music?
Let's see. I think so. YouTube is the big one.
Yep.
So just everything, all my social media handles are Harpsona, HARPSONA, except for Twitter, because that was taken. So it's Harpsona Tweets.
Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming by and talking with us for a little bit. This is super fun.
Yeah, no, thank you again so much for having me. I'm like really honored to be here.
Welcome to The Big Ones, a look at popular game music and what makes it so loved. This week is all about the SNES action RPG, Secret of Mana. Secret of Mana is unique among the Square JRPGs of the 90s. It's part of a Japanese series called Seiken Densetsu. The first Seiken Densetsu is a 1991 Game Boy release that came to North America as Final Fantasy Adventure, and to Europe as Mystic Quest. Not to be confused with Final Fantasy Mystic Quest on the SNES. Game localization is fascinating. But Seiken Densetsu 2 came to the West as Secret of Mana, and Seiken Densetsu 3 never came to the West, at least not officially. Apparently this game is the best of the three, but I can't say for sure. But today is all about Seiken Densetsu 2, or I'm gonna call it Secret of Mana because that's what I grew up with. The setting and look is pretty similar to Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy games at the time, but the gameplay is an action RPG. meaning instead of taking turns hitting each other and getting back in line, you have to time attacks and dodge away from enemies. This changes the way that the music is composed and the feel of the game in general. You can't have a devoted battle theme, so music in areas with monsters have to serve a dual purpose as battle music and an area theme. I really like this, as the interruption of music in a traditional JRPG can be kind of jarring, but it also requires the right balance of intensity and calmness, so the music keeps you moving ahead without exhausting the player. And I think the composer, Hiroki Kakuta, absolutely nailed it. Let's start with the very first song you hear, Fear of the Heavens. It starts with this kind of weird wail sound, and then as the logo appears, we get this mysterious and hopeful progression that makes you want to hit start. Into the thick of it is the music in the first area that you can get attacked in the game. The underlying line stays the same throughout the song with this great, consistent melody that can easily get in your head. It stays driving enough that if you attack or when you get attacked, it feels natural, but it also keeps you on edge as you plan out your next move. Dancing Animals is one of the most unique tracks in the game. You don't see too many tracks focused on percussion on the SNES, but this one nails it. The tribalistic drums, claps, and kind of marimba sound playing the melody makes this one hard to forget. This one also makes you ready at any moment for an attack and keeps you going when you get into a fight. Mystic Invasion wears its prog rock influence on its sleeve. It has a changing time signature, cool double bass pedal style drumming, and the bass is just doubling the main melody. This is a good time to mention how much I love the snare sound in this game. It just jumps right out at you. It's tight and loud and makes no qualms about being from a simulated drum kit. Spirit of the Night is one of my favorite chill tracks from the game. It is a style emblematic of JRPGs from the SNES, starting with a few instruments and then building to several before coming back down for the loop. I love that melody. It's mysterious and melancholy, which I love in these kinds of games. In my mind, the thing that JRPGs do best is when they make you feel happy and sad at the same time. Danger is the name of the boss fight music throughout the game. It's really stressful and intense. And I love the weird B section atonality. The instruments are just kind of going all over the place. The song constantly feels like it's about to fall apart. But halfway through the loop, everything comes back together in a really cool melody that gives you hope even in the middle of a ridiculous boss fight. And finally, I want to talk about A Curious Happening. I love when you get those songs from 90s games that remind you that they were made in the 90s. It kind of has a DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince feel, with a cool bluesy piano in the background. Secret of Mana is a classic JRPG up there with Chrono Trigger and the SNES Final Fantasy games. The melodies and drums give it a unique style that holds up with the best of them. Recently, there was a remake of Secret of Mana that came out, and the new music is kinda mixed. That could be an episode on its own. Some of it's great, some of it's weird, and some of it's eh. But the original soundtrack is always an option, and the game is unique and fun enough to be worth revisiting in any form. Thanks for listening, and listen well.
The playlist is a weekly collection of listener-submitted recommendations so we can all discover listener-submitted recommendations together. This week's theme is harp music.
Ataroxia, from Dungeon Mans, and submitted by Tamias222.
A Deus, from Grandia 2, and submitted by Jorito.
Thank you.
Ocean Waves from Dragon Quest VI Symphonic Suite and submitted by Square Evil.
Song of the Hero from The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword and submitted by Patchpin.
Waterfall, originally from Undertale, remixed by Samantha Ballard, and submitted by Black Doom.
The Mancer's Dilemma from Bastion and submitted by Systems Ready.
The Seas, from Heroes of Might and Magic 2, and submitted by the Wingless.
Mulcentir, from Neverwinter Nights 2, Mask of the Betrayer, and submitted by Alexander Brandon.
Grand Chakma from Tales of the Abyss and submitted by Sothan.
Title theme from Pikmin 3 and submitted by Pixel T.
What a show, what a show! Next week's playlist is ambient music. Find something layered and rich. You know, like a good cake. Melody optional. To submit your suggestions, hit us up on Twitter at OCR Podcast. Email us at podcast@ocremix.org or visit us on the forums at ocremix.org. This week's lyrical wisdom:
tell me about the Armos and the Blade Trap. A Darknut with a shield and sword to attack. A Keese is a certain kind of cave bat. The like-like looks like a pancake stack. A Wallmaster will take you back to the front. A Tektite jumps around like you're doing stunts.